The first reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through to 19, and that can be found on page 15 in the Pew Bible. That's Genesis 15, verses 1 through to 19. God's covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace, and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, where the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Amorites, Canaanites, and Jebusites. And the second reading is from the New Testament, and it can be found on page 1169, and that's Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. That's page 1169. Faith or observance of the law. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, as it really was nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our ears and our eyes, that you would break into our thoughts, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Around 4 summers ago, we visited Cannes in France. Some of you will probably be aware of the Cannes Film Festival, where film stars gather to stand on the iconic red carpeted stairs. Close by, we saw handprints set in stone belonging to people such as Angelina Jolie, Julie Andrews, and Meryl Streep, and so on. If you've been to America, you maybe have seen the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Biblically speaking, if we were to have a Hall of Fame, Abraham would be there. This morning, I would like us to take a brief look at some of the events in Abraham's life. Excuse me. Abraham was faithful. Back in Genesis 12, we read that God told Abram, as he was called then, to leave his country, his relatives, his father's house, to go to the land to which God would show him. Verse 2 of Genesis 12, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So the one condition God puts on Abram is for Abram to be obedient to God. When Abram left, he was 75 years old. He took with him his wife, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. They all set out for the land of Canaan and arrived there. Verse 7 in Genesis 12, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Altars were used in many religions, but for God's people, altars were more than places of sacrifice. Altars symbolize communion with God and commemorated encounters with him. Abram regularly built altars to God, namely for the purpose of prayer and worship. Now, I'm not suggesting that we build physical altars to God, but how do we approach God to worship? Is worship interweaved throughout our lives? Or do we only fully enter into worship when we feel like it? The altars that Abram built served as a reminder that God was at the center of his life. Regular worship helps us to remember what God desires from us, and like Abraham, helps us to obey him. But in the land which God called Abram to, famine struck. Now that's interesting. Why did God allow that to happen? To happen in the very land that God had called him to? This was a test of Abram's faith. However, Abram didn't hang around pondering what to do or why this had happened to him, as we'll find out in a minute. In our lives as Christians, at times we encounter great obstacles. Sometimes we need to move away from the situation and wait and trust God for new opportunities. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." Now Abram is asking his wife to lie for him. Abram was acting out of fear. Sarai was Abram's half-sister, as they shared the same father. So he tells a half-truth. He wanted to deceive the Egyptians. He knew that Sarai would have been a desirable addition to Pharaoh's harem, as her husband, his life, would have been in danger. When Pharaoh's officials saw Sarai, she was indeed taken into his palace. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. We can see here that Abram wavered and lost faith in God's protection. He lied, and as often happens when we lie, his problems multiplied. Pharaoh summoned Abram and confronted him over his lie. "Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." We move to Genesis 14, where we read that war broke out among various kings. Chedorlaomer was king of Elam. We don't know much about him other than he was powerful. For 12 years, five cities had paid tribute to him. But in the 13th year, they rebelled. However, Chedorlaomer reacted quickly and reconquered them all. We also learn that Abram's nephew Lot had been captured in Sodom. That's where he'd been living. Verse 18 of Genesis 14. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. We later read that Abram recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. What does this incident tell us about Abram's characteristics? When Abram learnt that Lot was a prisoner, he immediately intervened. He had courage. That courage came from God. Furthermore, he was prepared. He had taken the time to train his men for a potential conflict. We never know when we will be called upon to complete difficult tasks or be courageous. But like Abram, we need to be prepared for those times and take courage from God and lean into him. What I find particularly interesting about what happens after all of this is the appearance of Melchizedek, king of Salem. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, and blessed by God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Where have we heard of bread and wine before? What else do we know about this man, Melchizedek? Let's look at what Scripture says about him. Hebrews 5, verse 5. "So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.'" Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. He was a type of Christ. A type is an Old Testament event or teaching that is so closely related to what Christ did that it illustrates a lesson about Christ. Melchizedek was the appearance on earth of the pre-incarnate Christ in a temporary bodily form. And if you like, you can read more about Melchizedek in Hebrews 7, and he's also mentioned in Psalm 110. You can do that when you go home. The meeting between Abram and Melchizedek was unusual. They were strangers, but they shared an important characteristic of worshipping God. I'm sure Abram was on a high after his great triumph. He had just defeated an army and regained the freedom of a large group of captives. Melchizedek reminded Abram that it was God who had delivered the enemies into his hand. Genesis 15 gives us the second occurrence of covenant in Scripture. The first time covenant is used is with Noah, before and after the flood. In our Old Testament Bible reading today, we heard, "He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram had been demonstrating his faith through his actions, but it was believing in the Lord, not actions, that made Abram right with God. In our New Testament reading, we heard in Galatians how Abraham believed in God and believed what God said, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It was his faith and not his actions which made him righteous. How can we have a right relationship with God? By trusting him with our lives. Our outward actions, such as coming to church, prayer, and service, will not by themselves make us right with God. They are not bad things to do, they are good things to do. But a right relationship with God is based on faith. Salvation is always by faith. Do we believe that God is who he says he is? Do we believe that just as God promised Abram that he would have an heir, and we know that God kept that promise, do we believe that God keeps his promises to us? The late John Wimber was the leader of the Vineyard movement in his lifetime. He was used by God to renew the spiritual life of the church. He was also a gifted musician and evangelist. In an interview, he said the following: "I remember one time when a team member and I were called to pray for a woman whose left hand had actually died. It was black to the elbow. Her fingers were drawn up and rotting. An amputation was scheduled for the next day. The odour was incredible. I could almost see bones through the skin of the fingers. I stood there swallowing, trying to settle my queasy stomach. When suddenly I knew I had to touch that hand, I had to. I put my hand over hers, closed my eyes, and prayed. As soon as I got outside the room, I began crying. Why in the world did I do that? I probably embarrassed her to death by drawing attention to her blight. We went home with no sense at all of having won a victory or done any mighty deed. I fully expected to hear the next day that the amputation had been completed. 2 weeks later, her brother came up to me with a rather lengthy letter the woman had written, and she was left-handed. It told how overnight her hand had begun to recover, just enough to forestall the operation. The doctors kept postponing it a day at a time until finally she was well. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Why did God repeat his covenant to Abram? We looked at covenant in Genesis 15. We're now in Genesis 17. God repeated his covenant to Abram because God was preparing to carry it out. We learn God would give Abram many descendants. I will make nations of you. Many nations would descend from him. God would maintain his covenant with Abram's descendants. God would give the whole land of Canaan as an everlasting possession to Abram and his descendants. In verse 5 of chapter 17, Abram's name is changed to Abraham. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. At this, Abraham, I can finally call him Abraham, fell face down and laughed. How could Abraham doubt God? It seemed incredible, impossible even, that he and Sarah, in their advanced years, would have a child. Remember, this is Abraham, the man God considered righteous because of his faith. Despite his doubts, Abraham followed God's commands. Even people of great faith have doubts. Is that comforting to know? How does that make us feel when we have doubts? Because sometimes God seems to want the impossible from us, and we can begin to doubt his leading. However, we can be like Abraham, who continued to obey God after God had told him that the impossible would happen. Now, the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Genesis 21. This was no overnight answer to prayer. In total, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for their heir to be born. That's a very long time, and I know that we too can pray the same prayer for many, many years before we see an answer. Christine Kane, the author and speaker, recently said this: "I am seeing God do things in my 50s that I prayed for in my 20s. Never give up. Our God is so very faithful." Abraham's story gives us hope. He wasn't perfect. He had weaknesses. He failed to trust God. He let God down. However, God considered him righteous because of his faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can access your word and study your word to find out so much about you, Lord, and who you are. We praise you that you are a faithful God and that you keep your promises. We ask, Lord, that we would be more trusting. We ask, Lord, that you would rid our minds of doubts. Increase our faith, Lord, as we cling to you and look to you, Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.